Well, on this Feast of the Holy Family, I am reminded about the true story of the three friends who died in a car crash. And they all found themselves standing before the gates of heaven. And before entering, St. Peter wanted them to each answer one question. When you are in your casket and your family and friends are standing there mourning you, what would you like to hear them say about you? Well, the first guy said, I would want to hear them say that I was a great doctor and a great family man. The second guy said, I would want to hear them say that I was a wonderful husband and a teacher who made a huge difference in our children. The third guy said, I would like to hear them say, look, he's still moving. That's a true story. I am certain that he said that because he was concerned for his family too. Yes, family is important to all of us. And God so constructed humanity in his divine plan of creation that we would all live in and form families. And when the Word of God became flesh, that masterpiece of God's love and wisdom, he lived in a family too, because there was not going to be a different set of rules for Jesus apart from his Father's design for the rest of the human race. And Jesus probably came from a sprawling extended family, as most families were in his time and culture, with so many cousins living with and close by each other that there was no word for cousin in his language. All were brothers and sisters. Indeed, one of Jesus' own chosen 12 apostles was a member of his family, James, who would, after the resurrection, become leader of the church in Jerusalem. And doubtless they were very close to each other, James and Jesus, when they were growing up. Probably why Jesus chose him, a close kinsman, as one of his chosen 12 apostles. So family is important to God. And family was and is important to Jesus. So then why does Jesus say something like this? If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. So what does that mean? Jesus is anti-family? No, it means that's a warning. That's a warning to those who would be followers of Jesus not to miss the forest for the trees. As people of faith, family is not a good into which we fit our faith, but rather faith is the context into which we fit family. And on this Feast of the Holy Family, I want to focus particularly on the proper attitude of people of faith towards children. Simeon, that upright and devout man whom we meet in the gospel, gives us the first example of that. For when the child Jesus is brought by his parents to the temple, we read that Simeon takes Jesus in his arms and blessed God. And that is always the attitude of people of faith towards children. They are always embraced with welcome. They are always blessings from God. Mary and Joseph give us another model of the proper Christian attitude towards children for people of faith, because they brought their son to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Likewise, as people of faith, we recognize that our children are not our own. They belong to the Lord. We have been privileged with being entrusted with their care. Abraham, that upright and devout man whom we meet in our first two readings, understood that. He understood that Isaac, his only son, his beloved son, the fulfillment of all the promises, the wonderful promises that God had made to him, really belonged to God. And that is why, when he thought that God wanted him to offer up his son Isaac in sacrifice, even though it would have torn Abraham's heart out to do so, he obeyed because he understood that Isaac was not his. Isaac really belonged to God. But God stopped him because God wanted him to understand that unlike all the pagan neighbors of his and the false gods they worshipped, unlike those false gods, the one true God did not require child sacrifice. But God does require that we offer up the children he has entrusted to our care in sacrifice. But only in the sense that he desires all of us to offer ourselves in sacrifice. As Paul explained to the church at Rome, I urge you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, your spiritual worship. But church, that's what we do every time we come to Mass. That's what the sacrifice of the Mass is all about, is that every time we come to Mass, we offer our lives as a living sacrifice to the Father's glory with Jesus, through Jesus, and in Jesus. And like Mary and Joseph, we present our children to the Lord, praying that by bringing them to Mass, by raising them in the faith, they someday will offer their bodies as a living sacrifice to the Father's glory. And that is why, as people of faith, our greatest desire, hope, and pride for our children should not be that they are straight-A students or that they are star athletes in competitive sports or that they someday earn a lot of money and climb the ladder of success or that they provide grandchildren for us. All that is secondary. But no, as people of faith, our greatest desire, hope, and pride for our children is that when people ask them, what do you want to be when you grow up? That they might say things like, I want to be a saint. I want to be a man of faith. I want to be a godly woman. I want to serve Jesus. I want to be a friend of Jesus. And so as people of faith, our greatest desire, hope, and pride for our children should be to see our sons and daughters grow up to be faith-filled mothers and fathers raising their children to love and serve Christ and follow him. Our greatest desire, hope, and pride as parents of faith would be to see our son or daughter consecrate themselves to Christ in the priesthood or religious life. Our greatest desire, hope, and pride for our children as people of faith would be to see our sons and daughters grow up as single men and women of faith, seeking to bring Christ's love into the world no matter what career or vocation they have. Because our children are not ours. They belong to the Lord, and he has entrusted them to us. Amen.